Well, let's start to drill down then into kind of the algorithms and patterns of how you approach the patient with HER2 negative metastatic disease. And let's begin by focusing on chemotherapy. George, so let's focus on Dennis's patient who unfortunately doesn't have one of the two targets, either ER or HER2, that we can usually go to. How do you think through the approach to chemotherapy in this situation? And can you talk a little bit about the E2100 study and how that's changed your approach to these kinds of patients?
Sure. Well, the first thing that one looks at in looking at a patient with metastatic breast cancer, of course, is what's their prior therapy. In this patient, if I recollect correctly, this is a patient who's had prior anthracycline-based chemotherapy and has not had taxane-based chemotherapy. And that, of course, is incredibly important. So we would certainly say in this year that taxane-based therapy as a chemotherapy would be a standard of care for this patient. Now, I'll also add another qualifier, which is I'm not always sure that we get steroid receptor values correct, and I'm not always sure that we get HER2 values correct. And so particularly when I've got a patient who's relapsed, I think there's pretty much always a case to be made for getting some more tissue and retesting ER, PR, and HER2. Because a small but fixed percentage of the time, you'll find out that your pathologist didn't quite get it right back in 2000. But let's assume this is a triple negative patient. In my clinic, based on the results of the intergroup trial E2100, we would be likely to recommend to this patient that she receive combination therapy with paclitaxel administered on a weekly basis, as well as bevacizumab given on an every 2-week basis. And this is based on trial E2100, which randomized similar patients to receive either chemotherapy alone or with paclitaxel or to receive chemotherapy plus bevacizumab. And the results of this trial, which were presented in that Annus Mirabilis session at ASCO and then updated by my colleague Kathy Miller at the recent San Antonio meetings, is that you go from a median progression-free survival of about 6 months to a median progression-free survival of about 11 months. And this 5-month improvement in progression-free survival is the largest improvement in progression-free survival in metastatic breast cancer that we've seen in a generation. It is, for instance, a larger absolute improvement than is seen with Herceptin in the setting of Taxol plus minus Herceptin as frontline therapy. So we would certainly consider bevacizumab to play a role here. Now, there's a lot of things we don't know about bevacizumab yet, but one thing we do know, having looked at the forest plots where we've done subset breakdowns, is that triple negative patients appear to get a similar benefit in one analysis that hasn't been presented yet, maybe a little bit more benefit than estrogen receptor positive patients. So we would certainly consider that a standard approach for such patients.